This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 616, BlizzCon Cometh. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandef. And everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros. And with me, I have Toasty. Hey, dude, Toasty.
Coming all the way.
I'm hearing myself again, which is weird. That's definitely
not on loop. What the?
Okay, I'm not talking again, but I am talking. Anyway, I'm doing great. How you doing, Medros?
Better when technology cooperates.
See, technology cooperates when you give it the correct commands.
I gave it the correct commands. It did not listen.
Not sure about that.
I am. We also have Fandeth. How you doing, Fan?
Hi. Pretty good, I think. Yeah, let's go with that.
And we have a special guest who has not been with us in about 50 weeks or so, I think, maybe. Or I can't remember exactly how it's been. Hey, Ro.
Hello. Welcome. It's great to be back. I don't know why it took 50 weeks for me to be back, but I'm back. Perhaps it has something to do with the fact that the last time I was on the show, I annoyed the ever-living you-know-what out of Medros. I promise and vow to all you listeners here tonight that I will do everything in my power to not get permanently banned from the podcast.
I do note that you have did not promise that you would not harass the ever-living you-know-what out of me again, though.
I mean, if I just get suspended for a year, that's par for the course.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Good to have you back, my friend.
It's good to be back, and congratulations to you on a very well done pod before the con, which was recorded just a day ago for us. But yeah, that was a really great Warcraft panel that you recorded.
I was honored to do it, and it was a lot of fun. Some great voices there, and it has been a while since I've moderated a panel type show before. So I actually like listened to Group Quest because that's sort of like what I was doing before for that kind of stuff, and it really helped me get into the mindset of, okay, ask questions, do not immediately provide your own opinions, and then go on for 10 minutes.
And hey, I only managed to troll Medros once throughout the entire show, so I'm proud of myself for holding back.
Good on you, Toasty.
I may or may not have just minimized the chat room after a short time.
That's a reasonable thing to do with Twitch chat, usually.
All right, well, Ro, how's your life in WoW been lately?
Have I had a life in WoW? Unfortunately, the past week and a half has not seen a whole lot of World of Warcraft from me, mainly because of preparing for BlizzCon, World Podcast Con Before the Storm, all that stuff. When I have found time, I'm generally working on world quests. I recently got exalted with all of the factions for the Horde. And I am also working on island expeditions, getting my quota done here and there. That reminds me, I need to finish my island expeditions before the reset tomorrow morning. I need to get on that because I do love myself some island expeditions. But yeah, I haven't played a ton of WoW, and not out of not wanting to. It's just finding the time. Once BlizzCon is over and we're filled with the hype for 8.1, 8.2, and beyond, I'm sure I'll be playing a lot.
And, Fan, how's your week been?
Well, I just wrote something in our notes because I'm kind of tracking time about how much I actually have a chance to play WoW. I do believe last week I had said, you know, yay, I'm 120, but I looked at my slash played 33 minutes at 120. I played a little bit last week. I looked right before the show, actually while we were starting doing the intro, my slash played at 120 is now 1 hour, 21 minutes. So that's an increase of what? 50 minutes? 52 minutes?
I mean, 48 minutes, but who's counting? 48.
I don't know math. I can't do addition. Yeah, I haven't really had a lot of time to even look at my computer. So you guys are talking about, you know, world quests and island expeditions, and that sounds super fancy, but I just don't have a lot of time for it, and it's hard to sneak down here and play. So I played a little bit, though. I got to die again and again and again and run away from mobs that were going to kill me. Although I have to say that since BFA launched, I've had war mode enabled. I came across an alliance person once, and that was it. And they were super civil, so
you'll run into that a little bit more once you start going through the war campaign and you're over in Zandalar and questing in those zones there. So you'll see more Horde players. It's interesting. I quest in war mode myself, and because Earthen Ring and Argent Dawn are basically tied to the same shard, I often see Argent Dawn alliance characters while I'm questing, and I never get attacked while I'm on alliance lands, even with war mode on. It has yet to happen where someone's taken the initiative to attack me. That being said, I've taken the initiative to attack Argent Dawn members quite often.
Why not?
I won't lie, I've only seen one person from Earthen Ring that I recognized, and it was Moo. Every time I see an Earthen Ring person, I see if it's somebody's name I recognize. But I've only ever seen one, that's MacGyver, by complete freak of accident.
Man, that the odds of that happening is pretty low. I mean, the number of times I'll log in and see all my guildies logged in, and we're all in Boralus, and we just never see each other. Is stupidly high. But to be fair, Boralus is a huge city.
It's the one thing that I really miss playing Horde side, because I beta tested on Alliance side. I really miss Boralus as a city, because although Zandalar is a neat place itself, I just feel like when it comes to city hub design, Boralus won that one.
Oh, easily. I beta tested on Horde, and I did not enjoy the layout of that city at all.
A lot of stairs.
Yeah.
A lot of stairs in that place.
And it sucks when you forget that you're not on your usual engineer.
You don't have a glider?
Yeah. That did not end well multiple times.
Oh my.
See, this is why my engineer still has a lot of mats for the Goblin Glider kit, and I still send them over to my tunes on a regular basis.
I mean, to be fair, you can just buy those mats now off a vendor. It's just a tinker's kit.
Really? I thought there was more mats than that.
Nope, it's just a tinker's kit.
Hmm. Must be thinking of something else then.
It used to be a lot of other... It used to be more involved, but now it's just a tinker's kit.
Gotcha. Need lots of those things, because I like to dive off high places and save myself the ride down.
And yeah, if you can be efficient while you're doing world quests or something, then why not?
Or leveling. If I would have known about that, I could have used it while I was leveling. That would have been fabulous.
Well, you can still do it now, fam.
Gliders are really great in Vol'dun. So if you're an Alliance player and you start doing war campaign stuff in Vol'dun and questing around there, definitely have some gliders on you.
In Vol'dun, really?
Yeah, there's some mountainous areas over there where using a glider will give you a shortcut. I mean, yes, the vast part of it is open desert, but you'd be surprised at how much vertical level design there is in that place.
Huh, I guess I never really noticed that, because every time I go through Vol'dun, I'm just going through the desert.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to look up for that next time around. That sounds interesting. I know my Water Strider is getting a whole bunch of use whenever I go to Zul'Dazar.
Water Strider MVP mount of World of Warcraft, period.
Yep.
Can you imagine the day that comes where they say no flying and no Water Striders?
Well, they tried doing the no Water Strider thing in the beta, and that didn't fly.
Mm-hmm.
People got super angry about that.
I don't remember Water Striders flying, though. They usually just walk on water.
Right. Uh-huh. That, you see, that in itself is still enough of a boon for people to complain if it ever gets restricted.
Yeah. Next thing you know, everybody's re-rolling Shaman, and maybe Shaman will be good again.
Oh, yeah. And I guess...
NDK. NDK.
Fandeth brought up a good point in Discord chat. I've been a Shadow Priest main in Battle for Azeroth. My Warlock's at 112.
That blows my mind a little bit. That's like if Mendros decided to level up his Druid to 120 before touching his Paladin.
I would say it's more like Mendros leveling a warrior, yeah.
Just to clarify, the Goblin Glider kit actually does require Tririon Ore and Sumptuous Fur.
Correct.
Wait, is that the Tinker or the actual Goblin Glider?
The actual Goblin Glider kit.
Oh.
If you're an engineer, just use the Tinker on your cloak.
Yeah, and that's just the Tinker's kit.
I only have one engineer, and I have a bunch of other tunes that need to fly.
See, well, that's your mistake. See, why would you have any other profession other than engineering?
Clearly, you've not spent enough time talking to MacGyver.
I want to make money, that's why.
Money's overrated.
As a scribe, I definitely can say that making money is very overrated because I'm not making anything as a scribe.
Oh, man, that's right. I don't even know what scribes offer in this expansion. Somebody told me that...
We offer Vantus runes, which no one wants to buy on the auction house. We offer Darkmoon cards, which people have already collected sets for.
Don't you offer something that boosts rep gain by a small degree?
By 10 points per world quest on a 7-day timer.
Oh, 10 points. That's a whole
10 points per world quest. I mean, it could have been at least 25. Come on, Blizz.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not touching my scrim this expansion.
This obviously makes it so much better that this leveling of professions is per expansion and not required on previous expansions, because yes, my scribe will likely be just ignored like he was last expansion.
Yeah, I'm considering switching from scribe over to alchemy. I am waiting for BlizzCon to see if there is any hope left for inscription in terms of Battle for Azeroth. I mean, as it is, scribes get these sanguicels. I mean, every profession class gets sanguicels from raiding and stuff, but a scribe has no use whatsoever for a sanguicel. So why am I holding on to them, and why can't I use them to trade them in for, say, Hydra cores? That'd be nice.
Because they said no.
I mean, I guess I think I want them, but I don't.
Well, if you happen to be in line for a Q&A in a few days, maybe you can ask that question.
No, I'm more interested in Horde and Alliance. I'm more interested in the scoreboards. I'm interested in scoreboards, Medros. I'm interested in finding out at the end of the day who actually wins Stromguard. At the end of the day, who actually wins Darkshore? We have these war fronts where Horde and Alliance are battling back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I get it from a game design perspective that you need to give the factions relatively equal time to do that stuff. And it's a game mechanic and a game system, so that's why it's going back and forth like that. But just like raids, at least some of the older raids, now have established victors or established, you know, canon continuity for which faction was responsible for this boss kill. We need to find out who actually, as far as the story goes, wins those war fronts. And if I'm going to have a question at the Warcraft Q&A, and I don't know if I will, but if I am going to have a question, you can better believe I'm going to try to get that one answered.
I will not be surprised at all to see you on the Q&A.
Well, I mean, it's not like I've done that often at all or anything. It's I mean, you know, it's just a small desire of mine. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be wearing a red shirt, by the way, no.
Well, you got to get your own shirt color. I vote purple.
No, I don't do the shirt color thing. I'm just some guy in line who likes Warcraft, that's all.
Right.
Hashtag first in line guy. Hey, it's that... Wasn't that guy there last year? I think he was, wasn't he? Hashtag purple for Roe in chat. No, I'm not going to wear purple. Purple doesn't look good on me. It really doesn't. And I lived in Los Angeles, California, and I was a Los Angeles Lakers fan, and then I wore a Lakers shirt one time, and no, purple doesn't look good on me.
Purple, I find, is a hard color to pull off.
It is.
I'm finding it easier for me to pull off now that I don't have blue hair.
Mm.
But when I had blue hair, I...
Wait, what color hair do you have right now, Toasty?
It's my natural hair color again.
Wait, what? No, BlizzCon's coming, Toasty.
Yeah.
Toasty, what are you doing, man?
To be fair, I only had weird color hair for 2 years of the 5 I've been at BlizzCon.
Okay, but Toasty, BlizzCon is in 3 days. Now, you have some time.
I'm leaving
all is
tomorrow.
Not lost. Well, okay, then we need to tweet out the Celestalon. I know he has a very busy schedule. But with a little elbow grease, maybe a little bit of kish, cold hard kish, we can get your hair dyed a nice shade of what, green? Yeah,
it's been a long time since I've done green hair. Oh, geez,
yeah,
it's been at least 15 years.
We'll see. We're bringing back the classics, just like classic. Wow, in honor of going classic, bring back the green.
That's something to think about. Yeah.
Hey, Medros.
Anytime, so.
Hey, Medros.
Yes, Ro.
How was your week?
My week was pretty typical. Just did world quests. Held on to world quests, or emissary quests for turn-in for several days. Only completing what I absolutely had to until the emissary quest thing, went live, because I actually paid attention to what Warcraft Des was tweeting for once. Yeah, I think I had Pathfinder last week, or it was right after the show last week. But nice. Yeah, kind of working on alts now. Did a bit of candy gathering on my Warlock. Yeah, not too much.
I'm proud of you for having Pathfinder unlocked, man. You're ready to take to the skies in patch 8.2.
However they decide to let that happen, yeah.
That's my prediction anyhow, is patch 8.2. I'm thinking we're gonna find out the Pathfinder time frame at BlizzCon this year.
I agree with that prediction. I consider now official. It is now canon, and it must happen.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, since when is canon referred to, like, timelines like, for features being unlocked?
When something's canon, it means it's just, like, official. Like, the Stromguard thing, people are still gonna be fighting the Stromguard Warfront, and, I mean, maybe as far as the continuity of WoW... people like those war fronts are still being fought for, but I want to know what their plan is. I want to know if they're going to decide on a winner, and if we're going to find out about it in game, if we're going to find out about it in a book or a video or what. It's like these factions are fighting for this place. I feel like the stakes are high. The whole reason we're fighting for this land is because one faction wants it and the other faction wants it. So I want to find out who actually gets it at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, they have the technology so that they can update that stuff as the story progresses. So, yeah, I want to know.
Yep.
Who do you think it's going to end up with?
I think the Alliance are going to win Stromguard, and I think the Horde are still going to hold on to Darkshore.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Horde. I mean, go Horde.
Go Horde. For the Horde.
Sure.
For Zakan.
Yeah, I was about to ask, which Horde? Are you going for Zappy Boy's Horde or Sylvanas' Horde?
Oh, Zakan is my Warchief.
Zakan for Warchief?
Zakan for Warchief.
Warchief Zappy
Boy. Did you know that Zakan's middle name is Campfire?
Oh, basic Campfire for Warchief. It all ties together.
I think Zakan translated in Darkspear means basic. This is just what I'm theorizing. I think basic Campfire for Warchief may be a real thing. We just don't realize it.
Blizzard was playing the long game with that one.
The long game.
I want Blizzard to, like, kill off that character in the next expansion.
What? What? How dare you, sir?
How dare I? Pretty easily, I just said it.
Just that, Terrallion is gonna go.
No, no, no. You want Zakan out of the picture?
Yeah.
Alright, then I'm gonna up the ante, and I'm gonna say I want Talia so-and-so taken out of the picture. I say so-and-so because she has a last name, but I don't want to spoil it for people who may not know.
Oh, that person. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that person.
She's
I imagine her. I imagine her father would be kind of disappointed if she was dead.
Perhaps.
Yeah. So I guess it's time for our first sponsor. So our newest sponsor, of course, is the great folks over at Funko. Oh, sorry. Actually, no. Correction. I realized that I forgot to mention later this week. Ooh. I did a crap load of Island Expeditions with Allie.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun. And I actually completed that quest and actually was successful in one.
Did you get any? Did you get any new toys, any new pets, any mounts?
I got a new pet. I think it was like a crab or something. I can't remember.
Oh, cool.
I wasn't sure it was going to happen because I tend to just like play alone for a long time, but it's a lot of fun. And they weren't quite as worthy of visiting a dentist as I expect them to be. So, though. I do definitely recommend doing one with a priest, because as long as you stick by the priest, you're pretty good.
I'm excited in general playing a Shadow Priest. I'm looking forward to the changes for Shadow Priest in 8.1. I'm pretty hyped. I'm all for worshipping the old gods for a period of time. Because, I mean, Shadow Priest is the only old gods content we have in Battle for Azeroth, because there is no old gods content in Battle for Azeroth.
Nope, not at all.
Nope.
It's all about literally fighting for Azeroth.
It's about the Horde and Alliance faction conflict.
Yep.
Clearly, 8.1 shows that. Clearly, yep. There's no old god stuff whatsoever in 8.1, really.
Yeah, and do people point into this Azara cinematic? I mean, I didn't see one before Battle for Azeroth launched. Did you guys?
I thought that was just a fever dream, wasn't it? Like a shared hallucination?
I think so.
Yeah.
Now we're going to move on to our first sponsor, which is, of course, the great folks who are Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes of Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Doctor Who, and Sherlock. I like to choose a Funko each week, and this week's Funko Pop is going to the... returning, of course, to the current generation of Overwatch Funkos, but this is one of the keychain ones. It's Winston... keychain. It's really neat. I was kind of hoping to be a slightly larger keychain than the other ones because it's Winston, but I have been told it is just, tiny like the rest of them, which is probably good for people with smaller pockets, I guess. And it is kind of the younger looking version of Winston, so not quite the rage-filled one we have now. I think it's really cute, and I do know people I have talked to who would love to have one of these. But I have not seen them in stores yet. So I think you get them online, but not on the Blizzard store because I haven't seen them there either. So yeah, Funko Pop makes great products. And if you want to check out this Funko and many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop 10 to save 10% off your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use Shop 10 to save 10%. We want to thank Funko for their support of the show. All right, Fan, what's coming up this week? Nothing important.
Packed week. Sorry, I misread that. PvP Brawl Packed Houses is happening. That starts tomorrow. That runs to November the 5th. Then it's also the BFA Dungeon event the same week. Hallow's End is still ongoing. That's going to finish up this Wednesday, the 31st. I don't remember what time it is. I think it's later. Maybe it kind of wraps up on... early November 1st or something like that. I haven't done any Hallow's End yet this year.
There's a new kind of Hearthstone toy you can get from Hallow's End. That's the only really new thing that's been added. You need 150 tricky treats for that.
Oh, that's not good. That's it for WoW, like stuff in game.
No, there's one other thing that's not on here.
Oh?
What follows Hallow's End every year? Day of the Dead.
Yeah, that's right. That's going to be on
your wrestling outfits again.
Yeah, that starts on Thursday and ends on Saturday.
Yep.
Other stuff going on. Con Before the Storm is going to be on November 1st. And, of course, no, that can't be right. BlizzCon?
Wait, BlizzCon is this week?
November 2nd and 3rd?
Well, it's a good thing I'm going to California tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
You know
that
what?
That caught me completely off guard.
That timing is amazing. I'm also going out to California this Wednesday.
Man, what are the odds?
What are the odds? That's fortuitous.
Yeah.
It is incredibly sad to me that I'm not also going to California this week.
I mean, it's a down year for Warcraft, Medros. Or so we think.
Yeah, maybe they just lulled us into a false sense of security.
Year of Diablo, they moved away from the bathrooms. So, Year of Diablo.
Yeah, they went from in front of the bathrooms to the main hall, the big one.
Yeah, but all they're doing is showing the Switch for Diablo there, and there's absolutely no other Diablo stuff going on in the main hall, and there's absolutely nothing happening in that big empty space in the main hall next to all the other Diablo stuff. Nope.
No, that's just going to be where people can congregate, hang out.
Yeah, you know, meet with your friends, you know, establish new connections, network, create new long-lasting bonds that last, you know, from this BlizzCon and beyond. It's going to be a nexus of community in that empty space in the main hall.
And they're going to have the summoning stone there, and we're all just going to hang out there and summon our friends one at a time, taking two of us.
Yeah, but I mean, we need a space for the summoning stone, and you might as well have a grand space like that, because we're going to be summoning a lot of people. So, honestly, all these people that were thinking that there's going to be something like Diablo-related or new game, new IP-related in that space, you got to lower your expectations. Or, if you are a Horde player, and you are big on trolls and stuff like that, you have to lower your expectations.
Oh man. Bravo.
That's a Frasley worthy facepalm right there.
it is the episode title of my most recent episode of Hearth Casual, because we were talking about BlizzCon and stuff like that, and my co-host Kevin was predicting a troll expansion, and I said, you need to lower your expectations. And thus we had a show title.
Nice. Gotta love when it comes together organically like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be here kicking around for the next few days. Feel free to send me to California whenever you'd like to.
Well, I mean, you're gonna be busy manning the fires over at Dawnforge while BlizzCon is happening, right? Don't you have plans to do some coverage of BlizzCon from over there?
Yeah, we'll be talking about that a bit later.
Cool.
All right. Well, I guess we should get to the news then. And
yeah, let's talk about some more BlizzCon stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about more enough BlizzCon already. They finally announced the band. Somebody kept telling me soon, over and over, and eventually soon happened. I'm surprised myself.
If you wait long enough, soon will be now.
Yes. However, as I pointed out to you when you originally said soon to me, yes, soon BlizzCon will also be over. Point being?
Yep. Oh, now I'm sad. I don't want BlizzCon to be over.
Want me to do a countdown for BlizzCon 19, Toasty?
BlizzCon right now is just, 4 days away? But BlizzCon is 7 days away.
Oh.
That's what I call the Monday after BlizzCon.
Yeah, but on the plus side, DizCon's only 6 days away.
That's true.
And what are we calling your trip to Universal there, Toasty?
I'm not going to Universal this year.
Really? Okay. I assumed you were.
I decided that I'm only going to pick one park to go to every year, because otherwise it's stupid expensive.
Toasty's already been sorted by the Sorting Hat anyhow, so there's not really any point to go back.
Yeah, I got sorted by the Sorting Hat, I got my one. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Well, back to talking about the news. So I will first state that I am thoroughly not a fan of how they're doing this. So they announced the music for BlizzCon this year. To say that the fans are not overly happy about how they're doing it is kind of an understatement. according to the announcement, the BlizzCon music will start around 7:30 p.m. Where the closing ceremonies will start with Ace at 7:30 p.m. with a standoff from Blizzard. Then around 8, the music will start. That will start on the Mythic stage, and that is the band Train, who I think I may have heard one song from in my entire life.
Was it Drops of Jupiter or Soul Sister?
Soul Sister, probably. However, that's not all. The Overwatch Arena will then have Lindsey Stirling starting at 8:15. Or sorry, 8:30.
The Heroes of the Storm stage.
Yes, they put people in the wrong order and stuff. Christian Nairn will start at 8:15 on the Overwatch stage, doing a DJ set. And then Lindsey Stirling will start at 8:30 on the Heroes of the Storm tournament stage. Now, for those who are kind of confused, as I was when I originally read this, no, they are not doing 15-minute sets. This will have three acts going simultaneously across three different stages at the con.
It's three concerts instead of one. What's not to love?
Great. I understand that. Good point there, Ro. However, what if you want to watch Lindsey Stirling and Christian Nairn?
Then you choose which one is the most important for you to attend in person. You choose that one, and then you see portions of the other one on the virtual ticket later. Yes, I understand you don't get to see the entire version of the other ones on the virtual ticket. And are people going to have a bit of a beef about that? Yeah, but we normally only got one concert in the past to begin with. So people that are complaining that they don't get to see 100% of all three concerts, that screams entitlement to me. I think you're getting your money's worth and then some in a multitude of ways from BlizzCon. And frankly, I've seen people be annoyed at the way that they're doing the concert setup. Is it perfect? No. But is it more than what we had in past years? Yes. And is that awesome? Yes.
Sorry, I do want to reply to that.
Okay.
So we have had multiple acts in the past. We have had 2 to 3 acts on the single stage at past BlizzCons, and that worked out just fine. We had ETC and other bands. So why can they not do the same?
I would rather have an hour and a half performance from Lindsey Stirling than a half hour performance from Lindsey Stirling and a half hour performance from Train and a half hour performance from Christian Nairn. I would rather be able to attend a hour and a half concert from one of the people I like and then be able to catch an additional 30 minutes of content. Well, I'm just guessing and estimating here. I imagine the virtual content, the virtual ticket content will probably be somewhere from like a quarter to a third of the highlights from the other two concerts, which when you think about it, if you add that stuff to then the main thing that you see in person, provided you go in person, you're fine. If what you see on the virtual ticket is one third of the entirety of their concert, you take one third of each of those three acts, put it together. Guess what? That's about the same amount. That's the same amount of content roughly that you would have seen had they put all three on one stage. People that are complaining about this are just, I'm sorry, I understand you want to have everything, but I get that. We're not getting everything, and I can get have being disappointed about it, but people who are being way too upset about it need a reality check, because you're getting more than you've gotten in the past.
This is the way I'm approaching the musical acts, right? Every year, we've had bands come in, and people had varying opinions on any of the bands that played in previous years. People who've been listening to the show for a while know that I was not a big fan of seeing Weird Al at the closing ceremonies last year, so I didn't partake in that show at all. Blink-182 is a band I've seen before, so I didn't want to see it. The only band I went out of my way to go watch was Linkin Park, because I had never seen them in concert prior to that. And that's also the only concert I watched on the virtual ticket, because I enjoyed it that much and I wanted to see if I could see me getting smacked in the face with Gore Howl in the mosh pit. I didn't see that, unfortunately.
I think I want to chime in and just say really quick, another advantage to doing it this way is you provide more opportunities for people to have seats for closing concert musical act. There has always been a problem with seating and fire code regulations where people are getting turned away for any act that was performing on the Mythic State on the main stage. Now, when you have three acts in three different places, the odds of you being turned away from any one of them are significantly less. The nerd in me feels that the Lindsay Stirling one's going to probably book up the fastest, but that's the nerd in me speaking. That's the one I'm going to.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going to, too. I've seen DJ Hodor perform before, so mm-hmm. I'm good with that. But like back to my thing, I mean, these musical acts are not always widely liked by everybody. This now we've got a variety in options, and now people who have the virtual ticket might actually watch part of it, because I have a feeling that the musical portion of the BlizzCon ceremonies is not a widely watched thing for the virtual ticket.
I have no idea as far as the metrics and stuff on that. But again, yeah, having variety, having that choice, a choice that we didn't. The only choice you had in the past was go or not go, listen or don't listen. Now you have a lot more flexibility and choice as far as what you check out. You can't always have all you can eat at the smorgasbord. Sometimes all you can eat means two or three plates and then you're done. You can't clean the entire buffet table out, as it were. So all that said, I'm super excited. Toasty and I are going to go see Lindsay Stirling. Oh, are you guys going to check out any of those acts on the virtual ticket?
Very much might watch that. I really, really like Lindsay Stirling. I've definitely watched a bunch of her YouTube videos, and when she used to do the vlog type stuff, I don't know if she still does, but I used to watch those once in a while too. But super talented, and the music videos have always been super awesome as well. I really enjoyed those.
Crystallize is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't remember the name of the song, but it's the song where the music video is some creepy guy. Play, like, had a projector and was projecting outfits over her in different scenarios. Oh, what's the name of that song?
Shadows?
I'm gonna look it up now. that was the first one I watched from her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really good.
I don't even remember what the first one I watched was. And I own a couple of her CDs as well, because I had to buy them, and they were so amazing. But it's something that I'd probably actually watch. I don't know if I've watched... I think I might have watched some of the other performances a little bit, but not very much. It just doesn't hold my interest. It's like, well, I'd love to go see this live, but I don't care after the fact as much.
Yeah, that's usually how I am with concerts. The only exception was the Linkin Park one.
Yeah.
Because a very noticeable thing happened to me, and I wanted to know if I could see it. I couldn't see it. I was very upset by that.
So, Medros, of any of those acts, if you plan to check any of them out, which one are you going to check out?
I would probably check out Lindsay Stirling. I've enjoyed some of her music that I've seen videos for. I do have a lot of regret that I completely slept through Christian Nairn's set when he was playing in the Plaza. Mm-hmm. It was 2016 or 2015. So I kind of want to try making up for that, but I'm not into, you know, DJ music much. So I don't know. We'll see. I might pop into that one, see if there's any issue if I like it, but probably not. I'll probably at least try and watch it in the post-con coverage. We'll see. All right, let's move along here to our next topic.
News, real news.
I remember the name of the song. It was Transcendence. Mm. Transcendence, that was a great one. Anyway, yes, continue.
So, Warcraft devs had a little tweet come out. When was this? This was on the 25th? That was like a couple days ago.
Is there...
So it says, moments ago, we made the following hotfix live in all regions. Emissary rewards of gold now provide 2,000 gold. Was 700. Emissary rewards of Azerite now provide 1,600 total AP. was 1,000. So, you know, hey, that's cool. I don't know if I've ever done an emissary quest in BFA, sad face. But it's awesome that they upped that a little bit. Maybe next time they'll up the missions.
Later on, the 1600 ended up being a typo. It's 1400, actually. The 1600 was just a typo from them in their tweet, but still 1400 is pretty good.
Yeah, the gold rewards for emissary quests was always like a sticking point for me. Like, really? Was it really worth 700 gold? Especially with how much gold we have to spend in BFA, according to... Like, this is completely anecdotal, because I don't raid anymore.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, raiding is super expensive now.
Raiding is stupid expensive. It'll get better in 8.1 when the mats for a lot of that stuff are reduced. But right now, yeah, it's stupid expensive.
So, increased rewards are always good. I'm going to be farming the emissary ones, because... the Azrael ones, sorry, because got to have more AP. All the AP, because it's never enough.
Yeah, I saw the tweet about them working on this hotfix a couple days earlier. Like I mentioned in the how our weeks went this week, and I was like, okay. So I waited and did the couple of emissaries that I had up that day, and I waited the next day, and I'm like, okay, so still not here. So late that night, I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to do one of these emissaries so that I don't lose one that I've already done all the work for. Did the next day's one and waited, and it was like middle of the afternoon when they finally put it live, and I was like, all right, I can go turn all these things, and it was worth it. It was definitely worth it. So let's talk about a vendor coming in 8.1.
Yeah, so in patch 8.1 on the PTR, they recently added a new vendor that offers a variety of rewards for seafarers doubloons. People had been clamoring to have another use for seafarers doubloons because the buff items weren't that significant, and people were talking about, like, why can't we use our seafarer doubloons to buy all these RNG mounts and pets and stuff like that? Well, they aren't allowing you to buy the ones that are RNG drops on the islands, but this vendor that sells doubloons will give you access to a few new pets, along with reputation tokens. The reputation tokens cost 100 doubloons each, which in my opinion feels a little pricey. I think that could be cheaper. The pets that are involved, it varies. There's a albino dusk watcher, which costs 200 seafarers doubloons. It's a white raven looking pet, and I definitely want that. There's a crimson octopode, which is a red baby octopus, and there's a few toys as well. The highlight of which I would say is the cranky crab. The cranky crab is a toy that summons a crab that your battle pet can ride on, so now your battle pet can have a mount of its own, and that is pretty freaking awesome. The highlight of it all, though, especially for those of you that have tried to farm the Poseidus mount in Veshir, back in Cataclysm, you'll now have access to another way to get a seahorse, and that is the saltwater seahorse, which costs 500 doubloons. So that is a bit of a grind, but if you aren't using your doubloons for power-up items in island expeditions, that's, I would say, fairly easily attainable over the course of the expansion, and I will definitely be saving up toward that, because I have not obtained a seahorse mount through other means, and this is probably going to be my first seahorse. Are you guys excited about the stuff in here? I know there's some pirate hats in here too, as well as some other stuff.
The seahorse. 100% the seahorse.
Everyone's going for that seahorse, man. It's great.
I also want the cute little octopus with the eye patch. and the raven. I don't know. I've had a thing for raven stuff lately.
Yeah, so. A shadow priest with a white raven. I think that's pretty cool.
Like, to the point where I'm considering getting a raven skull tattoo.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's a critical role tattoo.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to know that. Except whoever listens to this show. So, yeah. You know.
Now I know.
A decent chunk of people.
So there might be one or two people listening.
Yeah, just a few. Are you guys excited about these items? Is this enough for you? Are you think you're going to run Island Expeditions more because of this? I was already going to be running Island Expeditions regardless because I love the system, but do you think that this is going to draw more people to run them?
I hope so. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun with Island Expeditions. That's the PvE content that I've been tackling more than anything else, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having a lot of fun with it, and it'd be cool to see other people get enjoyment out of it as well. I kind of understand why people weren't. There wasn't a lot of incentive to do so outside of RNG drops. So having something that you can work towards, that's cool. The doubloons themselves are RNG drops, but hey, can't win them all. Also, anything that'll give me reputation with Tortolans, I'm gonna take my opportunity to do that. So 250 rep with Tortolan Seekers. How much is the Soggy Page? 100? I can already buy one of them.
Nice.
See, for me, the cost of the rep things for me is totally out of control.
It's excessive. It should be like 30 to 50.
Yeah, like you're not getting much. I ran, I think, 4 or 5, and I got 3 doubloons. Not a lot of doubloons coming in there, and this is basically saying I have to run several weeks worth of Island Expeditions in order to get enough for one boost of 250 rep. I'll go do a world quest, thanks.
Yeah, I think they need to adjust the doubloon drop rate if this is going to be some. If those prices are set in stone, if those are the prices they're going with, they'll need to adjust that drop rate a little bit for the doubloons. It's good. Yeah. It's a long grind for all of that.
I haven't been on the PTR, so I don't know if they've done that or not.
Yeah, I just feel like the price, when I looked at it, was just too out of control. 250 rep is basically equal to a pet, and I feel pets should have a lot more value, or rep items should cost a lot less. That's just my opinion. But overall, I do like the idea that they're putting stuff in there to actually use for these things for. And hopefully those who want some pirate hat, not like I happen to know anybody who is interested in that at all, but it's definitely cool. And I know there's a lot of people who are happy about the mounts and the hats for sure.
Oh my God, there's a surfboard. Mm-hmm. The Gnarlwood Waveboard. How did I not see that?
I think I just thought of a new name for my team at work. Because all of my area, we all have teams based on currency. So we used to be shillings, and then we were another group, and we were Chemesis. But Bloon would be... That'd be an epic name.
Do it. Don't even tell them. Just change the name on them.
Yeah. I guess so. I'll have to run it by the something. I don't even know what she is. That's what I'm excited about.
I'm a fan of my team's name, personally. It's Manticore.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
At least I'm not on the Soul team anymore.
Yeah.
S-O-L. Okay, sorry. Tangent.
Wait, I can use an anchor as a weapon? What?
Wow.
Oh, there's so many things I want to spend my doubloons on now.
Make more.
Yeah, it's a trap to keep you away from the seahorse.
No, I gotta go for the seahorse first.
Yeah.
I can travel on top of water just fine.
Go for the hardest one first, and then just everything else is gravy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Getting 30 or 100 after going and collecting that 500 is gonna be like stealing candy from a baby.
I do want to point out that Frazzly in chat said, "Where's the beam out?" I just want to answer Frazzly in here and say, Frazzly, I don't think it's any of your business.
Bro, I'm taking notes here. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of great content.
Thank you.
I need to remember that because my dad jokes are getting a little weak now.
Yeah.
You gotta be sharp with your dad jokes, fam.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you want to be sharp. You'd rather be sharp than, you know, C flat. I don't know. That fell flat. We should probably move on to next bit of news.
So, the doubloon vendor is not the only vendor that's being introduced in 8.1. Oh, I locked my computer instead of opening the link. All right, okay, I'm unlocked. We're good. So, Azerite vendors. That's something else that's being added into 8.1. And during the Q&A, I think it was, they talked about adding this in. Very recently, they talked about adding the Azerite vendors in. So that's, an Azerite vendor is where, that's what it sounds like. We're able to purchase tokens that will give us Azerite gear. You can target specific slots, which is great for various costs, and it'll carry Azerite items at the appropriate item levels, and those will increase in price, obviously, the higher the item level. So right now in PTR, there are three different caches, such as the 355 cache, a 370 cache, and a 385 cache. And the cost for those caches, respectively, are 125, 400, and 1250 Azerite Impurity, whatever that is.
So the Impurity is a new currency which you will get in your Mythic Plus chests. It is also something that you can get from disenchanting or scrapping Azerite armor that is obtained after 8.1 goes live. So if you have any Azerite stuff sitting in your box right now that you're thinking of holding for 8.1, that stuff won't give you the impurities. Anything obtained after 8.1 will.
Yep. So, I mean, you can probably still continue to hold on to that Azerite gear because that's kind of what's necessary, apparently. If all the complaining I'm reading on the internet is true, we need all the Azerite gear.
Gotta catch them all.
Yeah. But that is not all. So the so those caches will give you a random piece of Azerite gear, depending on what cache you buy. So you can buy shoulder, chest piece, helm. If you want to buy a specific piece of Azerite gear, that option is available to you too. So you'll be able to target. You'll be able to buy a specific 385 piece for 3250 Azerite Impurity.
And that sounds like it will be a heck of a long grind, considering we don't even know. I mean, what, the first level tier, the 355, costs how much?
125.
Yeah, so if a 355 random costs 125, and a specific 385 costs literally 30 times as much, yeah, that's going to be a grind. That you probably will only get one of those per, like, patch cycle.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, we don't know at what rate Azerite Impurity is going to be rewarded, but based on those prices, not a high rate. Not a high enough rate to get 3,250 right away.
It's still more than we have right now, though. It's a step in the right direction. I mean, Azerite as a system has been flawed from the beginning, and people have been making that clear. Blizzard is starting to listen, and I'm hopeful that we'll find out about even more changes or adjustments that they plan to have as far as 8.2 goes, and we should find out about that stuff at BlizzCon too. I mean, a lot of people, I just want to say a quick aside here. I've noticed over the past few weeks, a lot of people seem to have a very neutral or pessimistic view about the state of the game right now, there's just this aura of dissatisfaction pervading through social media, even podcasts to a degree, and other spaces. And I mean, personally, I don't get where it's coming from. And I maybe that has to do with the fact that I play multiple games now, and like WoW's not my singular focus. But I appreciate that Blizzard, that the WoW team is recognizing that there are flaws and they are taking steps to correct them. The ship isn't going to turn around all that quickly. It's going to be a process, and I'm glad to see that it's taking a step in the right direction.
So the whole negative thing about WoW, I mean, I've definitely been guilty of that the past couple of weeks. I didn't even realize how negative I had been getting about it until I took a step back and listened to some of the episodes like I do. Like, oh wow, that didn't sound good. I did not sound happy with how things were going, despite it affecting me exactly zero. I had to figure out what I was going with this. I had a train of thought, and now it's gone.
Derailed.
Yeah. I'm hoping that this will help me be more positive, all these changes, even though they affect me exactly none again.
BlizzCon always tends to put people in a positive mood about the game. That's one thing I'm really looking forward to as far as BlizzCon goes. I don't know what announcements we're going to get, but a good majority of people feel pretty good about the game and where we're going after BlizzCon, at least for a couple weeks. So yeah. I'm looking forward to the kind of euphoria that will surround a lot of people, at least for a short period of time.
That's going to be nice.
Yes.
And only part of that's, you know, attributed to alcohol. Talked about A1. We talked about some BlizzCon stuff. And now we're going to go back to BlizzCon stuff. Because for some reason, I forgot to add this to the show notes. The BlizzCon Blink Sale, for those of you attending BlizzCon, is live as of this recording. So if you're wanting to purchase items for the Blink Sale, instead of waiting in that horrifically long line where you can pick up tidbits of other languages. That didn't happen to me 1 year, I swear. You can go ahead and do that. And with that Blink Sale, we've gotten an idea of some more of the merchandise that's being made available at BlizzCon. One of the things that I bought immediately was the Tortolan plushie.
Yes.
Of course you did.
I also talked myself into the Reinhardt Stein.
Yes.
Well, there's a bunch of other cool stuff, and if you're attending BlizzCon, go ahead and go to gear.blizzard.com/blink. Unfortunately, it's only really good for you if you're going to BlizzCon. Some of those items are not going to be shipped out, at least right now. I imagine after the con, as per usual, any leftovers will be made available through the normal store.
I am picking up a deck of Overwatch playing cards.
There's a deck of Overwatch playing cards? How did I not see that?
I don't know either.
When
Toasty.
I ordered it,
I don't know either, Toasty, because I told you about this like 2 weeks ago.
The playing cards?
Yes.
I don't remember you talking about the playing cards.
I told you about it, and you said that was awesome.
What?
Yes. I know this because I have a deck right there.
And boom, you can't see where I'm pointing. They are. Thank you, Fanda.
They are not a Blink item. They are available everywhere.
Yep.
I'm really excited by this. The BFA Stein looks really awesome. The Tortolan plush is a must have, of course. But
for anybody named Toasty. One,
yes, of course. The Murloc one, I'm not quite sure about. It kind of looks a little weird. And I'm not sure I like the ones that are made to look like in-game toys. Like, I'm not really a fan of that. The faction pillows look really cool. The gold and blue one anyway. I know a lot of people were really happy to see the pendant come back in stock, because there's a lot of people online, especially in the Facebook groups for BlizzCon and Blizzard merch, that were really upset that went away so quickly. And I'm pretty sure there's at least 4 or 5 items on this Wowhead post that are no longer available. They're already sold out this far ahead of time. So definitely some really cool stuff there. And there is stuff that's not shown here. There's a bunch of Cupid Deadlies that are in like in the normal boxes, not the blind pack. The Hanzo and the Symmetra, I think it is, ones that were shown on the out of stock on the store for ages. Those are available through the Blink store now. And I did actually talk to one of the merch people over at Blizzard this afternoon just to verify a couple things. The only items that you are guaranteed will not be available afterwards are ones that say BlizzCon exclusive. There are a few of those items, so if you do want those and you're going to the con, don't hold off on that. I think there's a Cupid Diddly set of Sylvanas and Anduin that is con exclusive. There is a Twilight Moira Cupid Deadly that is con exclusive, and there's some other merchandise that's con exclusive. So definitely check that out if you're going, and make sure you get the ones you want as quickly as possible. Because yeah, things are already selling out, though it may very well be that they will come back in stock before the BlizzCon itself.
There's a junk rat rip tire bang.
Yes, I told you about that when the BlizzCon store first launched. It was one of the things that was not in the... Do you even listen to me anymore? Really, do you even listen to me anymore, man?
See, here's the problem before.
Go ahead. What's the problem?
Like, I was actively trying not to spend money. So I wasn't paying attention to anything I didn't want to spend money on.
Toasty.
Yeah.
Aren't you still trying to actively
not try to spend money.
Yes, but now we're at, but now we're talking about it and it's right there in my face. It's a problem. I know.
I was really, really wanting, and I still like, I'm fighting myself, the BlizzCon limited edition Battle Before the Storm book. I think it looks really cool, and I would love to have one of those, but I just can't justify the cost.
Oh, that does look cool.
It does, but it's probably heavy, and it's $60, and you know, unemployment is hard. So, but for those who are interested in pins, the pin collectors out there, the often wondered about BlizzCon 2018 logo pin is there. So you can get that. Their newly released Blizzard cosplay book is there, though I assume you will get that anytime on the store, as well as the Book of Adria, which is just launching now for BlizzCon. I'm trying to think of what else there might be that is kind of new. The Diva Pillow, if I can't remember if that was there earlier. There's Overwatch Goldamari mini plush that is a Blizzard Con exclusive. But yes, the Junk Rat Riptire backpack Toasty is there.
What?
Finally,
this is the first I've heard of it.
They are doing a bunch of different bracelets. Not only the Warcraft Horde Alliance ones, but there's an Overwatch Diva, Hanzo, Soldier 76, and Genji bracelets. There's a bunny robe for Diva. If anybody's out there interested in that, I'm sure there are. I don't want to know that.
I figure Fandeth's going to be ordering that. Toasty.
Yeah, huh?
Did you know that there's Overwatch playing cards on there, too?
What? This is the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, right?
This is brand new information.
I hate you all. What? Bro,
yes.
I want to tell you something. Next year, when you're wondering around this time next year why it's been a year, question that no more. Just listen back to the episode.
Understood.
But what's your excuse for having me on every week?
So they also have lots of statues. And then those are the regular price, though. And they're shipped to home, not available actually at the con. So,
which is, this is the first time they've done that, right? Normally, when you buy them at the store, you just buy them.
The last year I went, which was the first year they had the Blink store, they definitely had, I think it was the Illidan statue, because we saw it at our tour of Blizzard that year, and we were very impressed with how it looked. They had that actually at the con, and I think there were some people who were like, okay, so now I have to travel 5,000 miles. How the hell am I going to get this home? So I think that's why they're doing the ship to home option for the larger packages, because they don't want to force people to have to like pay for shipping or find a way to get it on the plane.
I just got that song by the Proclaimers stuck in my head now.
That was the whole point.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could help. But yeah, there's some really cool stuff here. If I had $1 million, there's a lot of stuff that I'd buy off the store here.
Again?
Yep.
You just dropped rude.
There's like, I would buy a lot of stuff at the store if I had a lot of money, but...
Would you buy a fur coat?
I don't think there is one. There's a fur-lined coats, maybe.
Oh, God.
But not a real fur coat? That's cruel.
Of course.
Yeah. Frazzly. Frazzly, you're a gnome, and you should be ashamed of yourself for just saying this in chat. Frazzly put up a picture of the jigsaw puzzle piece in the Discord chat, and then he says, they're missing the Varian Wrynn puzzle. Weird. You should be ashamed of yourself. You are a disgrace to the Alliance.
Frazzly.
And the Horde will welcome you next week. Feel free to apply.
Okay, well, right-click remove friend.
Yeah. Anyways. So the Blink store, which has all the stuff that we were wondering where I was in the picture, but not on the store, is up there now. So if you're going to be at the con, go for it. If you're not, and what you want is not listed as a con exclusive, you should probably see that in the store a few days after BlizzCon ends, maybe a week or two at most, I would think. All right. Now that we are done with that, let us move along to... Well, I think there's people in our chat room who are really interested to hear who the answer to this question is going to be, and that is who the winner of our contest is. So we announced this last week, and it was one of our shortest contests ever. And that is a giveaway for a BlizzCon virtual ticket. I want to thank everybody who had entered. We had probably the largest number of entries we've had for a contest in a very long time. Like, I'm talking years. But it was great to see so much interaction and so many people contributing to the contest and entering. Now, we did this through Gleam, which is a fairly common these days tool for doing contests. And they actually do the whole choosing the winner for us. So there's no random number generator. There's no, here's a stream, you can watch me pick the winner. And our winner is Giara P from Germany. They won by contributing to the contest on Twitter. They retweeted our post on Twitter. And they will get a code for a virtual ticket courtesy of Blizzard. As the show was starting today, or as the show was supposed to start today, we also began the second week of that. That will end about the time that we're going live for our coverage of BlizzCon, and we will announce the winner of that then. So they will the winner of that will have their prize before the end of the opening ceremonies, which is free for everybody. And then we may have some prizes during the con coverage as well. We are definitely doing some around the BlizzCon bingo cards that they put in the do your own party from home, your own BlizzCon from home thing. Between those out in the next couple of days to give people a chance to fill in their BlizzCon cards and take a screenshot and send them in so we can verify who the winners are for various things. And that's going to be really exciting. I'm going to have a lot of fun with those BlizzCon cards. You can create your own. You can use some of the pre-made ones, but we'll tweet that out in the next few days for people to get a chance to create their cards ahead of time. But once the opening ceremonies begin, that'll be the cutoff for your bingo card to be entered. So, but yeah, GRP, congratulations. You are the first winner of our BlizzCon ticket virtual ticket giveaway. Our second one is live now. It will go until Friday at noon Central Time, which is about when our coverage will go live. Speaking of that, and we hinted at this earlier, we are doing BlizzCon coverage. We do this every year when I'm not at the con itself. I host it. Other people host it at other years that I've been at the con. We're going to have a lot of really fun people. We're going to have Joe from Group Quest on the podcast. We're going to have Vespertilio and Dead Greed from Shattered Soulstone to talk about all the Diablo stuff that we hear, hopefully, about new stuff, maybe a new title or MMO or something at the con. And we'll have Allie for part of the coverage. We'll have Frasley. We will have Emma. We will have Zeph. We'll have lots of great people. So definitely check us out. We'll be doing it primarily on Discord. That'll be where a lot of the communication will happen. But Frasley is going to be trying to help us rebroadcast that to Twitch for those who prefer Twitch as their broadcast method. So if you want to come in and discuss with a bunch of fans, we've had hundreds and hundreds of people in the past. So we are really excited to see what we can have this year and have some really great times talking about what's going on at BlizzCon. For those of us who are not there. Fan, I don't know if you're free very much, but you're welcome to join us as well.
Absolutely.
Should I pay a bill now?
Sure, let's pay a bill.
All right. So our second sponsor for today, as usual, is the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're going to feature the fifth book in the Codex Alera series, Princeps Fury. Let's have a listen.
And the battle had raged long enough to wear the Third's knights down until they could no longer sustain the effort needed to keep the foe at bay. The Iceman had gained the wall itself. Raucus felt his teeth clench in frustration and rage as the ape-like creatures swarmed over the breach in the defences. The largest of the brutes was as tall as an Alaran legionare, but far broader across the shoulders, far thicker through the chest. Their arms were long with enormous hands, and their leathery hides were layered with a sparse coating of wiry yellow-white fur that could make them all but invisible in the frozen wastes of the north. Yellow-white eyes glared from beneath shaggy brows, and a pair of heavy tusks jutted up from massively muscled jaws. Each Iceman bore a club of bone or stone in his hands, some of them edged with chips of sharp, unnaturally hard ice, that, like the cold of the winter itself, seemed to bend itself to the will of the savages.
So that was Codex Alera, Book 5, Prince of Fury. That was written by Jim Butcher, narrated by Kate Reading. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
BlizzCon 2018 is quickly approaching, and so is the 6th annual World of Podcasts presented by Con Before the Storm and Medieval Times. With well over 55 different podcasts expressing interest in participating, this year's World of Podcasts will include content taking place before, during, and after Con Before the Storm. The entertainment begins on October 28th at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time with a Warcraft-focused Pod Before the Con, followed at 7 p.m. with a Pod Before the Con previewing Con Before the Storm and covering all Blizzard franchises. These two panels can be heard live at twitch.tv/ConBeforeStorm. The core of our World of Podcasts programming will be recorded on the fourth floor of the Anaheim Hilton, taking place during Con Before the Storm from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time. This event is entirely free and open to the public, so if you're in the California area, do consider joining us. All of these panels will be available on the podcast feed for World of Podcasts shortly after the conclusion of the event. We'll wrap up our coverage of BlizzCon with a podcast recorded from Anaheim on day 2 of BlizzCon at 2 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time, which we'll also post to the feed as soon as possible. We can't wait to share this gathering of voices from throughout the Blizzard podcast community with you. Make sure to follow at World of Podcasts and at ConBeforeStorm on Twitter for news and updates. And for more information, visit ConBeforeStorm.com.
Hey, Ro, thanks for recording that promotion for Con Before the Storm live for us. That's so awesome of you.
It's the least I could do.
All right.
How did you get the music to play in the background, though?
Well, you see, I know the right buttons to press. Some people. Ooh, child.
All right, so our question of the week this week is, what are you excited to go look for in the WoW Classic demo for BlizzCon? From BlizzCon? And WookieBH says, walking to the end of the Gold Road and looking down into Thousand Needles. I miss those insanely tall elevators. Inudari says, the saltiness from everyone else not understanding the passion these guys have for the old days. And Gillen says, Device Messenger.
Presley said, I'm looking forward to seeing Murloc Aggro in Westfall. I hated it because I died a lot, but I miss the old Murloc Aggro as well. Zephariah said, just having the overall experience, at least willing to try.
I didn't get a chance to answer last week, so I'm going to answer. I'm looking forward to seeing what all the hubbub was about because I didn't play vanilla. I just want to see how it compares. Reach says, I'm looking forward to Classic. I do not expect to play it for any length of time, though. I just want to experience the leveling and group atmosphere. I started in BC. Things had already been a little streamlined by then, so to answer the question, if I was allowed to play the demo, I would be most interested in checking out the difference in the class spec combo that were said to be unviable. Taking what we know about the game now and how to play into consideration, I feel that it may not be as big of an issue as it once was. Only one way to find out.
And I guess since I wasn't here last week, I'll answer the question myself. I'm looking forward to the Baron's experience because I did not play Horde characters prior to Cataclysm, Mists of Pandaria, when I finally switched over from Alliance to Horde side. So the Baron's experience from a classic point of view is relatively new to me. The whole Mancrick's wife thing and all of that stuff. So I'm looking forward to that quite a bit. Regian also responded, and I believe Daniel Kane, Deckard Kane's cousin, is going to read this one. I remember finding the storyline of Stormwind, pulling back support from the surrounding zones that eventually culminated in the infamous Onyxia unveiling event in the throne room. So, I'll be looking forward to seeing the seeds of that event sown in Westfall. Thanks, Daniel.
Man, I completely... For some reason, the concept of the old storylines unfolding again didn't occur to me. And yeah, that would be really cool to see. Also, I kind of hope they accidentally, but not accidentally, do the Blood Plague thing again. Just because that's hilarious.
I think it's a moral imperative that they reintroduce the Blood Plague at some point during WoW Classic.
I mean, that was part of the Classic experience, right?
It was.
However, it was fixed by 1.12, which is what they're going about, based upon.
Well, maybe during the beta, they can go off of 1.0.
Oh, Frazzy has a great idea. They need 12-hour maintenances again, and I will do music broadcasts again.
Good thing the Realm Maintenance podcast didn't exist back then. A very long podcast to record.
Another thing that would be super awesome, super fun to do, is go back into Zul'Garub. Yes, yes. So many experiences with that. That nostalgia.
Yeah.
The reason why they call nostalgia. It nostalgia.
Can you smell it?
The memories are so great, but when you go and do it again, it might be something else.
I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I feel that following this classic demo, you're going to have a hardcore group of people that, you know, enjoy that there's a classic demo, but I feel like a great majority of people that were all hyped about the classic thing are going to be like, yeah, you know, I really don't like the idea of leveling up my sword skill to 150. I think I'll take a hard pass on that.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the people that are super big into the classic stuff were the ones that were playing on private servers that
right
could use other cheats and stuff on, so you can make your leveling faster and make yourself super powered and stuff like that.
I mean, not to say that people won't legitimately enjoy the actual vanilla experience, but yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how this whole classic WoW experiment unfolds.
Yeah.
So our question of the week for this week is not something any of us can answer right now.
Unless no, let's we'll try to give... answer it now.
Yeah, you know, let's give sarcastic answers. So what was your favorite thing from BlizzCon 2018?
I'm not going to even give a sarcastic answer. My answer is going to be, I believe that my favorite thing from BlizzCon 2018 was the reveal of the Diablo fighting game.
Actually? Diablo, that would be really cool, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've ever played Overwatch, the seed for this was sown in Overwatch. If you ever play Overwatch and go to
the Hanamura Arcade?
Yep, Hanamura Arcade, and there is a arcade machine with a Diablo fighting game called Soulstone. I believe that if we're ever going to see a fighting game, it's going to be that game. With Diablo characters fighting a la Street Fighter, Tekken, Mortal Kombat, whatever you want to call it. It'll be brutal, and it'll be excellent, and I will play that game to death.
Oh. A Blizzard fighting game might actually get me into fighting games.
Bring again. It on. I really want to see that thing.
Man, now I really want that.
All right, Ben, what's your answer?
Mine would be the thing that I enjoy the most of BlizzCons is the opening ceremonies because of the, you know, the little announcements that happen, and it's just so exciting. So that's probably going to be my favorite for now.
Thirsty? How about you?
Oh, I had a joke answer, but now all I can think about is...
You're welcome.
Oh, man, that would be so cool. The Overwatch cinematic. Because the Overwatch cinematics are always so good.
Who is it an Overwatch cinematic of?
See, if you're paying attention to the internet, there's an answer that's been floating around there everywhere. But I really want a Lucio cinematic.
I want a Lucio and Effie Orisa team up.
Oh my god.
In Nabani.
Lucio with Lucio on the ones and twos with Orisa's drum.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That would be great. Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. All heroes across all Blizzard IPs in a fighting game. Zephyria, that's a great idea. Isn't that hot?
It kind of is. It kind of is.
But Mortal Kombat style, though.
Here's the thing, though. I feel like a Diablo fighting game could still possibly carry the story of Diablo forward. If you consider that at the end of Reaper of Souls, spoilers for Reaper of Souls, guys. Spoilers for a game that's been out for a few years. At the end of Reaper of Souls, the Black Soul Stone got lost, destroyed, whatever, and the Primevals were supposedly released again, which means you can have all the Primevals in this fighting game. Perhaps the fighting game takes place after Reaper of Souls. Perhaps you can rescue Leia in this fighting game. Who knows? The possibilities are endless.
You want to know what my... I'll give you three favorite things from BlizzCon. First, the announcement that WoW Classic will be... It's a separate subscription. Second, is the announcement of Diablo World of Sanctuary, a MMO based on Diablo coming out in 2020. And third, a decent Overwatch voice actors panel. Those are my three favorite things from BlizzCon. And silence.
I do want an Overwatch voice actors panel similar to the one they had in the first time they came
yes.
out.
Yes. The first one was awesome. The second one sucked. I want at least a midway between the two.
I think they'll listen to feedback from last year. I think it'll be a better experience this year. I'm looking forward to the WoW voice panel as well.
Oh, don't make me choose between the WoW voice panel and the Overwatch voice panel.
Why not both? They don't happen at the same time.
That's true. I'm not going to miss an opportunity to see Matt Mercer. But
You definitely want to go to the community night then, because he's one of the judges for that.
But I also don't want to miss an opportunity to see Laura Bailey. Cue heart music.
True.
That's a joke for all you Critical Role fans out there. Or I guess that's all work, no play. Whatever. It's the same company now.
All right. I think that's about it. So, shout-out time. Ro, your shout-outs.
Shout-out to, once again, to Medros and everyone who was involved in the Pod Before the Con Warcraft panel, and also the Pod Before the Con panel for all the Blizzard games. But we had a lot of regulars from the All Things Azeroth community involved in the Warcraft panel one, and I think it went great. So shouts to all of you guys. I should also give a shout out to everyone who is going to BlizzCon that I get to meet this week. If you happen to see me, feel free to say hi, feel free to walk up to me, and feel free to start a conversation. I will caution you, if it's during World of Podcasts and it looks like I'm a little distressed and busy, I will definitely at the very least say hi back. World of Podcasts is probably not the best time to talk to me, but like any other time outside of that, I will definitely do what I can to just spend a few minutes and talk to you and stuff. And yeah, shout out to just all of you guys for continuing to somehow find it in your hearts to have me on the show once a year.
Heart. What is this word?
What is what word? What's going on? Oh.
Oh, hey, Toasty.
What up?
Some breaking news. I was just looking through the Blizzard Gear store, and they've got some Overwatch playing cards on there for sale. You might want to check that out.
What? This is new information.
It's great, right?
Oh, they got Joker, Roadhog. That's great.
Whoa, and they got Junkrat attire too? What?
Oh, there's gonna have to spend more money now.
Yeah,
but I didn't want to, but I need to now. Oh, being an adult is hard.
It is.
Your shout out, please.
Shout out to Magus for putting up with my crap all the time.
Someone has to give it to him. It's not me.
And shout out to. Again, just echoing what Rose said, everybody who's been involved with all the World of Podcast stuff leading up to BlizzCon, I've been tuning into as much of that stuff as I can. It's been fantastic content. It's doing a good job of getting me more hyped for BlizzCon and everything that's coming up.
Okay. Fandeth?
My shout out is going to be to everybody in the chat room that is hanging out tonight. And I know there was more than what's here right now, so I'm sure you know who you are. So thanks for coming and hanging out. Chat room was bumping tonight.
Absolutely. I'm giving multiple shout-outs, so sit back and relax a while. First off, shout-out to all the organizers of Con Before the Storm and World of Podcasts. It's a really great effort, a really great community event, and I really recommend if you go to BlizzCon, do everything you can to check it out, because it is a lot of fun. Next to my Pod Before the Con crew, to Stone, Wookie, Berserker, Ali Frasley for Surface, who was broadcasting for us, and I feel like I'm missing some. Oh, and Tosh, yeah, that's what I'm missing. Sorry. It was a lot of fun. You guys were a great group, and I do want to thank Ro for asking me to do it. It was an honor. Just to everybody who's been here, and of course to Ro for coming on the show. For his annual harassing of Medros.
Can't wait for next October, man.
Sure.
I think we should make this a monthly occurrence.
Does Ro have time?
I don't know if Medros could handle me once a month. Maybe once every three.
I do want to add one more shout out, and that's to Seraphis for what I hope will end up being him making good on his bet with me and rocking a Winnipeg Jets hat during Con Before the Storm. That's going to be great. Let's see if I can get him into a jersey too, but I doubt that. The bet was Winnipeg, Nashville, who won that playoff series. And three of us, at least, on this show know what happened there.
Yes.
Oh, it was glorious.
Many, many, many tears.
What's hockey?
It's a thing that Columbus pretends to play sometimes.
Oh, that, yeah. Yeah, that hurts, Toasty.
Well, you know what, Ro? Ask Toasty about the Columbus versus St. Louis Blues game last week.
Oh, no. Why are you going to do that, man?
I did not look at the score, but I can only imagine that did not go well for
7-4. Oh, that was that game hurt a lot.
That's not 7 points for the Blues. They had the Blues after that game.
Anyway, now I'm sad.
All right, then. Are you in the mood to do an outro at least?
I mean, I'll take care of it if you're too sad to do it, Toasty.
You know what, Ro? I like hearing from you. Let's go with that.
Before we do that, though, I want to let everybody know to watch out on our Twitter this week. We will be announcing another contest. So watch for that.
Ooh, surprise contest. All right. Well, if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5. That is 1-785-282-9695. You can send your emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. If you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. On Twitter, you can follow us at allthingsaz. Medros is at Medros. Fandeath is at Fandeath. Toasty is at ToastyPostyCan. And Don Forge is at Don Forge. You can also follow me at Rowow. That's R-H-O-W-O-W. You can join our new Battle.net group at http://bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Don Forge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of BlizzCon.
And the CAN stands for Canada. And
I got some Overwatch playing cards. Who wants to play?
There are Overwatch playing cards?
Yes, there are.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.